Easter was last week. That's we felt really weird this morning, like we were missing something, you know, before you got here. It felt crazy to not be scrambling, but here we are. It's after Easter. It's time to move on into life after the resurrection. And so what was true last week was true the week before and the week before, and it's true now and will be forever, right? He is risen. The district superintendent sent out a text this morning to the pastors that it said what was true last week is true this week, and said, wouldn't it be great if we lived every Sunday like it was Easter? And so what we're going to do in this series is we're going to move into the book of Acts and kind of look at what the disciples were doing in gaining the early believers and building this church, and specifically what they were devoted to. And so in this series, we're going to talk about being devoted. But the first thing I want to get out there is this definition of devoted. And one that I found is giving a large part of time and resources to a cause or a person or an activity. So what are some things that you can be devoted to? This is some participation time. Sports teams, yes. Work. Family. Sleep. Workout. Scripture reading. Here we go. So, marriage, what else? Doing for others, yeah. There's literally anything, right? Is that what you said, Cheryl? Okay, good. There's so many things we can be devoted to. I have a list of faith, spouse, family, job, fanhood, hobbies, fitness. The list goes on and on. I'm particularly devoted to fitness in the form of fitting this pizza into my mouth. But some of you actually are devoted to fitness, and it shows, and it's great, right? There are lots of things we can be devoted to, good or bad, and the list could go on and on. So personally, I'm devoted to faith, family, spouse, and job, and then beyond that, my ADHD starts to kick in, and I'll get hyper-devoted to things for a short amount of time, right, until I get bored with it and then move on, and that leaves me being very average at a lot of different things. I can do all kinds of things, just none of them I excel at. I can do a lot of things marginally. Someone who is devoted to their career or their career path might be like a doctor who has devoted time to lots and lots of schooling, or an astronaut who has lots of training, intensive physical stuff, or maybe someone in the military, lots of sacrifice, or maybe an athlete with lots of practice. Or someone who is devoted to their family might prioritize their time toward their family members, or give up certain activities to be with family, or make time for their kids and their spouse. Or someone who is devoted to their fanhood, right? They might buy season tickets, or they might dress like a maniac and get on TV for it, or they might wear face paint, or they might cry when their team loses, even though they don't play for that team. Isn't that crazy? That's devotion, right? When we cry when our team loses, even though they're not paying us a dime to do that. Someone who's devoted to their hobbies might have a workspace dedicated at home, or a workshop, if you know, woodworking or metalwork or whatever. They might carve out time for their hobbies. They might even vacation based around them, skiing, hiking, hunting, whatever it might be. Someone who is devoted to their faith, right? They might have a great Bible app streak. Or if you don't do that, you might read your Bible every day. You might attend a Bible study or have an accountability partner or be discipling someone or carve out time for prayer. The point is, most of the time, it's pretty easy to tell what people are devoted to, right? You can tell what people are devoted to, what they put their time into. Who you are, or who what you are devoted to, defines who you are. What you are devoted to defines who you are. So what do you think people would say that you are devoted to by observing you? That's the question I kind of want us to wrestle with for the next 4 weeks internally. What do people think I'm devoted to by the way my actions speak, by how I live my life, by what I put my time and energy and money into? What do people think that you are devoted to just simply off of observing you? So we're going to be in Acts chapter 2 for the whole series. We'll have some other scriptures, but this is the overarching scripture for this series. And so just to catch us up, since Easter was last week, Jesus was resurrected, right, on Easter, and then he appeared for 40 days to different to the apostles, to different people. About 500 or so people saw the living Jesus. He appeared to that many people over 40 days. And then he ascends into heaven, gives the Great Commission, right? We know, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey the commandments that I've given you. And then the disciples, after he ascends, the disciples, they choose Matthias to replace Judas. We all know what happened with Judas. We talked about that last week as well. They get Matthias to come in, so they're a group of 12 again, and then they just kind of wait on the Holy Spirit, which comes about 10 days later at Pentecost. And then when this Holy Spirit comes and empowers them for ministry, then it's on. And so Peter preaches this really powerful sermon, and about 3,000 people get saved and baptized right then and there, and all of a sudden the church is born. We have not just a 12, you know, the 12 people left that were believing in Jesus, but we have these 3,000 people who are saved and baptized and ready to go. And so that's the early believers. And this this title in your Bibles or Bible app, it should be titled something like the Fellowship of the Early Believers, something along those lines. So that's where we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 2. It tells us about how these early believers operated. So starting in verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, or to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So, right away, we saw four things that the early believers were devoted to. What were they? It was on your screen for like 5 minutes. What were they? Right at the first verse. Yep. Breaking bread, fellowship, prayer. And what was the other one? Teaching. It was the first one. Teaching, right? Teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, which could be argued as communion, because who are we kidding? We're not getting together. We're not eating, right? That's not. If we're fellowshipping, we're eating, right? Okay. I'm losing my faith in you guys. What's happening out there? If we're together in fellowship, we're going to be eating, right? When do you get together with friends and not eat? That would be crazy. So we're talking about, probably talking about communion. Jesus commanded to do this in remembrance of me, right? The breaking of bread. And then prayer was the last thing. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at each of these four areas. Today, we're going to talk about teaching. We see teaching happening all over the New Testament, starting with Jesus. We see Jesus teaching in the synagogues and then on the mountainsides and in places where crowds gathered, and he would teach one-on-one. He would tell parables. He taught a lot of things in those 3 years. And then Paul talks about the importance of teaching in his letter to the Ephesians. And so this is Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So teaching helps lead us into maturity and to the fullness of faith. And so we're going to be looking at three truths this morning about being devoted specifically to teaching. The first thing is that teaching has a goal. teaching has a goal. How many of you here are or have been school teachers before? Good, we got a lot of you. First off, thank you. That is a job I would never, ever want, right? Because I have to keep people's attention for an hour a week, right? And that's not easy. So I can't imagine doing that 7 hours or 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. That's kudos to you guys. What is the goal of teaching? Yeah, or even in simpler terms, learning, right? The goal of teaching is learning. How many of you love to learn? Maybe you don't love to be taught, but you love to learn. I love to learn stuff. I don't love to be taught that much. You learn the hard way a lot of times, right, when you don't like to be taught. But I love to learn, and especially since if I have a question, I can type that into Google or YouTube, and either Google can tell me or YouTube can show me a video about it. It's pretty awesome, right? Can get dangerous. The internet doesn't tell the full truth all the time, but it's easy to learn in the world that we live in. The problem with learning, however, is that it takes time, effort, engagement, and attention. Those are all things that I frankly run short on a lot of time. Time, effort, engagement, and attention if we're going to learn. Have you ever had to hire a contractor or plumber or mechanic or HVAC person? Yeah. Why did you do it? Because I either didn't have time to do it, right? Or I didn't know how to do it. I didn't want to take the time to learn it. That's why people go to trade schools to get trained for these sorts of things. I didn't have time to do it, or I didn't have time to learn it. Learning takes time. So if the problem with learning is time, effort, engagement, and attention, the reward for learning is a deeper knowledge and understanding. The reward of learning or teaching is a deeper knowledge and understanding. So if the goal of teaching is learning, and learning gives us a richer, deeper understanding of God, but it takes time and effort and engagement and attention to learn and have a deeper understanding of God, that means that to gain a deeper understanding of God, we would need to be devoted to it. Following? Does that make sense? Okay. So something that's very hard to do in time and energy and effort is learn, but it takes a devotion to learn a deeper understanding of God. And that's where the disciples and the early church found themselves. So in the case of the Christian, the goal of teaching is not just learning, but the fullness of Christ, both personally and united as the church, to experience the full measure of Christ. So the goal of teaching for the early believers they were so devoted to was to gain understanding, but also to help them live in the fullness of Christ. That sounds like a pretty good reason to be devoted, right? I can't think of a much better one than to have a deeper, richer understanding of who God is and to experience the fullness of Christ. Number two, we are to pass teaching along. So the second truth about being devoted to teaching is that we are to pass teaching along. Paul writes a couple letters to a younger pastor named Timothy, and he talks about this in 2 Timothy, or this second letter to this young pastor, Timothy. And this is 2 Timothy 2:2. Lots of twos there. "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. The things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to people who will also be qualified to teach others." Or in other words, make sure the truth of Jesus is being taught. Right? Make sure that you're passing this truth along to people who are going to not just pass this truth along, but not pervert it or distort it or twist it in any way. Someone who is going to be able to take the truth of Jesus and pass it down. Because if not, a couple generations could pass, and then our faith is very skewed, right? That's the position we find Paul and Timothy and all these other apostles in. You see, this was especially important in the early church because the New Testament, as we have it, it wasn't pulled together yet. These were, I mean, this letter is part of that New Testament, right? He's giving instruction to Timothy in real time there. It wasn't like he could tell Timothy to go back to his letter to the Galatians and it was the Galatians had that one. Does that make sense? Right? So we're living in this age where we have easy access to the scripture that's been melded together for us. And so it was actually about 300 years before the New Testament was canonized or officially brought together. And so this means that five or more, depending on what your definition of a generation is, were mainly relying on these truths of Jesus being passed down orally, right? And even more than that, the printing press didn't come out until 1436, right? So 1,436 years later, we have printed Bibles. So teaching was very, very important, not to mention that lots of these people couldn't read anyway, right? So they're in a point where teaching is something you have to be devoted to, and you have to have people that are willing to pass that teaching along. So what little written scripture they had, you know, for this early church was passed around, or it was held where believers would gather. In scripture, they did not have the accessibility that we have today. So that's good news for us, right? That's really good news for us. It means you don't have to be a pastor or an evangelist to teach people about Jesus. You just have to be willing. Isn't that good? Because pastors and evangelists aren't, I mean, you guys see way more people that need Jesus than pastors or evangelists do. I spend most of my time locked in this building. You know, you guys are out there working with people all the time. If you're willing, you can teach people about Jesus. Think about the people you come in contact with every day. You can teach them about Jesus. And in fact, Jesus tells us to do so in the Great Commission. We tend to think often about that make disciples and baptize them, right, part. That's what pops into your head when you hear Great Commission. Go to the ends of the earth, make disciples, baptize them. And then he says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's Jesus' final words to his believers. Teaching them everything I have commanded you. We have the ability to teach people about what Jesus has done in our lives personally, right? We have the ability to teach people what Jesus has done for us with our testimony. And then we have the ability to refer them to the Bible, which they can access in their pocket for free. And if you don't have one of those smartphones, I think Goodwill gives out Bibles for free. I mean, the Bibles are very easy to obtain. So you have your testimony, you have scripture you can refer them to, and then you have a church that you can refer them to join. It has never been easier to teach people about Jesus. And sometimes I wonder what the original 12 disciples would say. We know, if you don't know, their lives ended rather abruptly and violently because of this exact thing, teaching Jesus. I wonder what these 12 disciples would say if they could walk into present-day America and kind of get a feel for things. They would probably say things like, you could screenshot scripture and turn your AirDrop on and just impose it on anybody that's within an earshot of you. Yeah, why aren't you doing that all the time? Well, because it's a little creepy and weird. Would it hurt you? Would they arrest you? No. No, their AirDrop's on by choice, actually. Oh. Then why aren't you doing it? I don't know. You have a social media platform that you can just like spat off whatever nonsense and people will actually read it and get upset or happy over it? Yeah. And it reaches anywhere in the world? Yeah. And you have like multiple of these things? Yeah, we do. And you're not using it to just blast out the teaching of Jesus? No. It's just use it for like funny cat videos and yelling at people about politics. Okay. So you have freedom of speech and worship? Like you can say whatever you want and not get killed for it. Yeah, we do. And you don't just tell everyone about Jesus? Well, you're kind of weird if you do that, right? The news gets after you. But they don't like arrest you or anything. No, they don't. Okay. You see? You see how easy it is? And guys, I'm preaching to myself this morning. This isn't a stab at any of you guys. This is when we read about the church in Acts and how tough everything was and how easy everything is for us, just putting it in perspective. We are called to pass along the teaching of Jesus, and it's never been easier. Number three, you are fully capable. The third truth about devoting ourselves to the teaching of Jesus is that you are fully capable. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching. You know what I say a lot as a pastor of people, I'm someone who teaches about Jesus professionally. Like, that is my job. And I say this so many times, I'm going to have to look at what Scripture says about that and get back to you. I don't have the thing memorized, forgive me. It's a big book, right? Amen. All Scripture is God-breathed and suitable and useful for teaching. Can you think of someone in your life that taught you about Jesus? I hope so, right? Somebody that's not a pastor. Okay, good. We all still, yes. Aren't you glad they did? Right? I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Whoever that was that taught you about Jesus, they didn't have all the answers either. They didn't have probably most of the answers, but they were just obedient to the gospel of Jesus. That's all they had to be, and all of us are capable of doing that. So if you want to learn more, devote yourself to the teaching of Jesus. If you want to teach more, devote yourself to the passing along the teaching of Jesus. You have everything you need, and Scripture is so easily accessed. You have everything you need is in the Word of God, and it's easy to get to, and it's easy to point others to. So maybe it's time to put some time, energy, engagement, and attention back into the teaching of Jesus. Would you pray with me this morning? God, we just thank you for this peek that you give us into the early church, for this snapshot of what they were going through and dealing with and devoting themselves to. God, that's as close as we're ever going to get to Jesus walking around on earth, is reading about the people who experienced it. God, I think it's a worthwhile investment to be devoted to your teaching. So God, help us know that the goal is to not just learn, but to learn to live in the fullness of you, that we can live in the fullness of Christ. And God, we just help us to know that we are to pass along your teaching. It's a commandment that you've given us in the Great Commission, to teach people to obey the commandments that you've given us. And God, help us to know that we're fully capable of doing so. Help us to remember that we have all these free, easily accessed resources at our fingertips, that we don't have to know the answers. We can just point people in the direction of you and your word that is freely given and that is suitable for all teaching. God, you've given us what we need. Help us to just be obedient and willing and devoted. And as we continue these next 3 weeks about these other areas that the apostles were devoted to, we just ask that you would show us these areas, these places in our lives that we need more time and attention and engagement and effort in. God, we just can't thank you enough for what you're doing in the hearts of us as individuals and us as a church. And we just want to be on board with where you're going, with what you're doing, with what you're already working here in Middletown. Help us to be that people that are devoted to your teaching, that are passing it along, and that are confidently pointing people to you and to your word. We just thank you so much. We just want to live lives that glorify you in word and thought and in deed. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The band's going to sing a song. Our altars here are always open. If you felt God speaking to you this morning and would like to respond to that, at this point, I'll just ask you to stand and take this time to either pray here at the altar, at your seat, reflect on what God's been telling you. Would you stand and worship with us?